الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, the greatest man to walk on the face of this earth, Sayyidina Khatamul Anbiya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with sitting in the sanctity and the safety and the protection of the masjid and listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran. In the previous dars, we explained how in the verses وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى we can deduce, some ulama of tafsir have deduced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with having so many meanings to this verse, and we will go into this again today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each contributant and each member of society a role to play. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a system in the world, and this is how the world works the way it works. So for example, We have classes of society. We have rich people, you know, the upper class, middle class, and in the lower class, working class, وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. So how does this work? Why is it that some people have this challenge and some people have this question that why is there evil in the world? Why is there poverty in the world? But it's just the way the world works. It's a system within the world. Now look at our daily lives. Our necessities, they are fulfilled by various different members of society. Now, for example, we have people who are in the lowest paid jobs. Generally, you can say that these people will be in the lowest earning percentile of society. And they are there for a reason. They do jobs, and we are directly or indirectly dependent on them. So, let's just say, for argument's sake, don't want to make anyone feel targeted here. Let's say, for argument's sake, one of the lowest paying jobs in society. Well, before we say that, let's just say that anyone that has a job, they're in a privileged position. They have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because there are people in the world who are looking for jobs and they can't find. These people are in employment. They have been blessed, they get an income. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that one of the lowest paying jobs in society is a person who works in a takeaway. And let's say that person is a teenager, So they get a very low wage, generally speaking, however that might be, depending if you're on the books or if you're off the books, obviously. Now, if we were to say that everyone in the world, why don't we have a world where everyone's rich? So do you think then somebody will work for £6, £7 an hour if they are rich? No, they won't. So when you're feeling hungry late at night and you want a takeaway, then who's going to be there to prepare your takeaway? Which driver is going to go out, Uber Eats driver is going to go out and get your meal for you and drop it off on your doorstep? It's not going to work. Even if you were to go yourself, there's going to be no one working in the takeaways, so you won't get your food. And that's just one very, very small example of how the world works and functions the way it is. We all contribute to society in some way or the other. So, for example, you'll have people who, just like we said now, we have people who make shoes, for example. Somewhere in the world, there's someone who makes shoes, and there's people who wear shoes and buy shoes. And like this, if you carry on and carry, just go into the town centre and look around you. You'll have the butchers, you'll have the bakers, you'll have the clothes shops, and they're all people who are contributing to society in different ways. And everyone comes from a different social background. Everyone has a different social status. Everyone is on different earnings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these classes so that everyone in the world can coexist in harmony and in a system. There is a lot wrong with the system. But generally speaking, the world doesn't stop. The world doesn't end ever. It carries on. People carry on living. People carry on eating. People carry on surviving. And it's been doing so for millions of years. This is because of the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place. And it really is something that we don't think about and we should think about. Wherever we go, we might complain, oh, these are on proper low wage. Yeah, they're on a low wage because that's the way the system of the world is. Allah has made it like that so that they can come and be and offer a service for everyone else. And like this, we benefit from these so-called low-wage jobs every single day of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this understanding. There's so much more to ponder around the world. Look how the system is mentioned before about just look at the meal on your plate when you sit down. How many people has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into work so that you can have your meal for today? Just look at it next time you sit down to eat and look just for a few minutes, not too long because your food will get cold afterwards, but just look for a few minutes at your plate and think how many people has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into work so that you can eat that morsel on that day at that time, because it was in your taqdeer anyway. So like this, the whole world works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put various different creatures into amal, into work, and they have various different roles. So in this verse, this demonstrates that وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this and stipulated and put into measure فَهَدَ, and then he guided every single person to do their job. Another perspective of this is, look, in every zamana, in every time, you have different people of different professions. So for example, you have doctors, you have dentists, you have mechanics, you have carpet fitters, you have plasterers, you have engineers, you have electricians, you have plumbers. Do we ever live in a time where there's no plumbers left in the world? Nobody wanted to be a plumber in these for the past 20 years, so that's it. There's no more. No. It's always someone somewhere. Think about it. It's always someone somewhere who decided as they grew up that I want to be a plumber. That's why you can ring someone and there's always a plumber there available. Think about it. Allah has made this system. Did someone go around forcing people that no, in Blackburn we need this many plumbers, we need this many electricians, so let's make sure that everyone chooses. No, everyone has a choice to, are any of us forced to choose the career that we chose? No, it was our own choice. But it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting it into our hearts. Think about our own jobs. Whatever jobs it is, what do we contribute to society? We contribute a lot to society. And why is it that we are here, sitting here, contributing to society? It's because Allah put in our hearts to do that. And that's why we offer a service as well as so many other people. Think about it. We never ever you know, oh, I need an electrician. Well, there's no more electricians left now. They've all passed away, and no one wants to be an electrician anymore. No one wants to go around. Everyone wants working from home jobs, and no one wants to go around to people's houses in the cold. Builders, you look at builders, it's freezing cold outside, but they've got their boots on, they've got their old triple gloves, jacket, and they're working away. Do you really think, like, personally, I wouldn't want to be out there in the cold, grafting away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it into someone's heart. No, I want to be a builder. That's my passion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this system. It's so amazing. We have to really, really think about it. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our system and society run today. Moving on. Again, this is another topic. Like so many other topics in the Quran, I've said this so many times, that there's so many different topics that you can just talk about all night. And you just wonder about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's true, so true, that if we were to, you know, all the ink in the world would run out and all the paper would run out, but the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never ever run out, and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never run out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes and our hearts to understand truly His greatness. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, I particularly like this, what Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah has mentioned under these verses. Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah has taken out several different meanings with regards to this verse. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, that He was the one who put into measure and then fahada, and then He guided. So Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah mentions that for several different meanings for qaddara and several different meanings for fahada. Says that He stipulated evil and goodness, and then He guided them to guidance and misguidance. Another mention, He stipulated for every animal that which is appropriate for them, and then He guided them towards it. Another one is, He stipulated the time that the fetus will stay in the womb of the mother, and then He guided it to its time of exiting from the mother. Another one that Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah mentions, this is an important one today. He stipulated those people who will be men and those people who will be women. And then He guided men towards women. This is nature. This is absolute nature, that, like they say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve. Yeah, not Adam and Steve. Yeah. So this is absolute human nature, that men and women marry and they live together, and this is how the world works. This is how the world continues. If this tradition was to stop one day, then what would be the result? The result would be that humanity will be finished. And that is the reality. If men and women stopped cohabitating and stopped having children, then within 100 years, everyone would be dead. Because that's our lifespan, right? And there's no more babies being born. So the entire humanity will stop. Then there will be no more engineers and no more plumbers. Then that's it. That's the end of it. It's a very important point Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah mentions over there. Likewise, He stipulated sustenance, and then He guided the sustenance towards that person for whom it was destined. He gave the ability to sin, and then He guided towards tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards tawbah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Another last point with regards to this, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. One, Hazrat Mufti Azam, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Nawarullah Munqadahu, writes with regards to this, and he elucidates towards it, rather writes directly to about it. But he mentions with regards to, and you can take the meaning of the explanation of technological advancements. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib writes that the way we live our lives today, and science, he writes with regards to science and advancements and developments of science, says that science isn't something that creates new things. They discover new things. The things that were discovered were already there, they just weren't discovered. And who placed them there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed them there. And then at its right time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the minds and the intelligence of humanity so that they could tap into these advancements and change the way that we live our lives today. So, for example, I'd say that the thing that's probably changed the world in the greatest way that's ever been witnessed by humanity is the radio waves that we can communicate through, telephones, phones, satellites, etc. So these things were always there. It's just that we didn't know about it. That's all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it at the beginning of time. And when the time was right, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, you could say maybe the last 100, 150 odd years, that's when humanity discovered it. And now look at the world today. The world today is the way it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted phones to be discovered 1,000 years ago, it would have been discovered 1,000 years ago. So again, this fahada that he guided, that's why we have technological advancements today, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided humanity towards their discoveries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our minds and our hearts to his wonders and his amazement. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He is the one. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes out the pastures. Mar'a means the pastures, the greenery that we see around us in the world today. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. And then he made it into a blackening chaff. So a very simple explanation of this is, nowadays, we go outside. The other day I was coming into the masjid, mashallah, one of the youngsters, he was brushing up all the leaves. And I saw the leaves all just outside that entrance over there, and they were all in a pile. And when I was reading this verse, it reminded me of that pile. Now let's look at a leaf for a moment. The leaf grows on the tree, right? And when it grows and it grows green, it grows strong, it grows healthy. Then what happens is eventually it falls off the tree, falls on the floor, and then it goes hard. So initially when it's on the tree, it's moist, it's wet, it's organic. And then what happens is it falls onto the ground, it becomes dry, and then it wrinkles up, it becomes black, and then it turns into a chaff. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. And I saw the pile of leaves, and it was all just a pile of just, you know, literally blackening chaff, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying with regards to the greenery that grows in the world. Hazrat Mufti Azam Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, from this verse, he also takes out another point. And the point is that it's possible there is also an indication to this with regards to our life. That what happens is we grow, we are born, and we grow strong, healthy, youthful, fresh-faced, black beards, smooth skin, strong muscles, active, running around everywhere, doing so much. And then as time goes on, what happens is we become weaker, we become older, we become wrinkled, just like greenery. And then eventually we die, and then we get put into the grave, and then we literally will turn into that. We will be eaten up by the insects of the earth. We will become their meal over a period of time, and then our bodies will disappear. So there is an indication towards this. Respected brothers, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Uthkuru dhikra hazimil ladhat, ya'ni al-maut." That keep remembering the thing that will end all pleasures, and that is death. Now my students in madrasa, they say, "Are you always remembering death?" And one of my students go, "You need to go on holiday." I said, "No man, holiday, we're going to die one day." Yeah? But it's really important. It sounds like a very depressing topic. No, it's not a depressing topic. And for a mu'min, it should not be a depressing perspective. It should be a concept that excites a mu'min. That, oh, I cannot wait. Why? Why is it that I cannot wait? Because when a person gets engaged, let's say he has a long engagement, 4 months, 5 months, nowadays, people want to prepare, people need to do this, I'm not ready to move out, you know, I need to prepare my wedding, I've got to do this, I've got to, you know, get my tailored suit, wa ghayra dhalik. So it takes a very long time. But eventually, when this, let's say it's 5 or 6 months, this engagement period, when the period ends and the person is going to meet his beloved, his you know, the person he's going to spend the rest of his life with, the person he loves so much, he's been waiting. Does he feel depressed towards the end? Or does he feel excited? The answer is, you feel excited, you feel happy, you're ready to meet your spouse. Because you love them, or you're planning on loving them anyway. Respected brothers, death is this. For all our lives, we believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spent wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We woke up at night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learnt about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learnt his ahadith. We listened to his teachings. We fell in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cried on hearing his name. We loved reading about him. We loved hearing about him, about how he was, how strong he was, how powerful he was, how amazing he was, his akhlaq, his characteristics, how kind he was, his generosity. Does a mu'min not want to finally lay eyes on that beautiful face? Of course. Does a mu'min not want to finally meet his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, for whom he sacrificed so much? Respected brothers, of course. So death is not, it should not be a saddening concept. It should not be a difficult concept. It should be a concept that we are looking forward to, we cannot wait for, we are excited that I cannot wait to be done with the test of this world and to finally meet my Creator. So we should constantly, every single day, remember death. Remember, respected brothers, there is no bharosa, there is no dependency on life. How can we guarantee that we are going to wake up in the morning? How can we guarantee that we are even going to reach our homes tonight? It's possible that we may meet death along the way. It's very, very much possible that we may meet death before we stand up from our places. What guarantee do we have? We see around us, you know, people, young people, they pass away in various different circumstances. So it is of utmost paramount importance for us to not only remember death, but also to take active, practical steps to prepare for death. And today, I will finish on a few couplets from Khaja Aziz al-Hassan sahab, majzoob nawar Allahu maqadahu. He says, Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, akhir maut hai, akhirat ki fikr karni hai zarur, jaisi karni, waisi barni hai zarur, umar yeke din guzarni hai zarur, qabr mein mayyat utarni hai zarur. Now one day, we are going to die. In the end, there is only death. Do as you want to do. In the end, there is only death. We need to worry about the hereafter, most definitely. Whatever you do in this world, that's how you will reap the rewards of it in the hereafter. This life is going to pass, most definitely, one day, and very, very soon. We are going to be lowered into the grave. Harun Rashid Rahimullah, his son, as he lay passing away, he says, Ya sahibi la taghtarid bitana'umin, fal umru yanfadu wal na'imu yazulu, fa idha hamalta ila al quburi janazatan, fa'alam bi annaka ba'daha mahmulu. That, oh my companion, do not become deceived by the luxuries of this world, for life is going to end, and these blessings will also end. And when you go to the janazah of somebody and you are carrying their coffin, فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ, understand that you will also be carried to that grave one day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remember death constantly and to actively prepare for this union with our Lord. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a death upon iman, with the kalima on our lips and the iman and the iman in our hearts, a death in which we experience death in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make the dua, Allahumma inna nas'aluka husna al-khitam wal afwa amma salafa wa kan, Allahumma arzuqna shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawtana fi baladi rasulik wa habibik sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with love for the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with ilmi nafi'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran an intercessor for us in our grave. and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us manifestation of the hadith. Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.